Sailor Report, CIT 89.5 FM, and we're going to be talking shortly with Stephen Cowens, another man. He's a very militant rationalist. Stephen is very prejudiced. He wants you to make sense. He wants you to give evidence. He wants you to reason, which is an art form, right? We would recommend. Phil, you wouldn't believe who I saw at lunch today.
I would.
Yourself and Lynn Slotkin,
Pastor Playgore. Yes.
And every Friday morning, 9, we usually get together, but today we had lunch, Boxing Day lunch. That's
and,
more like
and
it.
And on Spadina Avenue, and I got to say, it's the most wonderful street in Toronto. To be honest, Spadina Avenue on a holiday afternoon is just terrific. You know?
Yeah. There you go. You got that from Phil Conant, so you know it's the truth. And we're joined now, I believe, by Stephen Cowens. Are you there, Stephen?
I am. Hello, Phil.
You have written a very good piece, and I want, again, just to make sure people know, it's gowens.wordpress.com. And the title, I believe, is The Regime That Isn't, if I got that right.
Yes.
And you're following up, by the way. We just spoke to Eva Bartlett, who has herself gone all the way to Syria because she didn't trust Western media. If people read your column, they will know why she would feel like doing that. This word comes up. Two words come up. If Syria is talked about, the government is called a regime, and the president of the country is called a dictator. Of course, nearby, not so far away, is a full-fledged monarchy. But when John Kerry meets them, he says, our dear friends, and then he says, His Royal Highness. But nobody says, it's a regime. It's got a dictator. So that's our starting point. Why is that?
Why is it that they... Yeah,
why does the media... And by the way, it's absolutely... And your article shows, it's lockstep. You know, the government decides its policy towards another country, and the media, whether it's the Globe and Mail, Toronto Star, New York Times, they pick up on the same phrase. Or to use my opening thing today with Eva, they're celebrating Christmas in Aleppo, but there are no photographs in our media showing that they're doing that. And how do they all know not to show those pictures? The pictures are all over the place.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I know. I mean, the mainstream media reinforce official views, and they do that for a number of reasons. There are a number of mechanisms that ensure that they do that. I mean, one of which is that they're a big business, mainstream media, and big businesses have some imperatives. One of which is to avoid controversial or seemingly unpatriotic positions that might alienate advertisers on which media or mass news media rely. Then there's these economic constraints or imperatives, which say, if we're going to produce news, we're going to produce it at, you know, as inexpensively as we can. And one of the ways to do that is to rely on government officials as news sources. And there's an immense reliance on government officials as news sources. So essentially, mass media are simply repeating what's told to them by state officials. And then there's just this plain old-fashioned patriotism or view of what it is to be patriotic. You certainly don't want to contradict government officials. So they simply reinforce the views of government officials. And the result of that is they tend to characterize foreign governments which reject the United States' self-proclaimed role as leader of the global order. That might seem odd, but, I mean, if you read any of the policy documents of the United States, for example, the 2015 National Security Document, it's quite clear that the United States regards itself as the leader of the global order, because it says so, describes itself as essential, as the indispensable a nation, as the world is calling out for the United States to lead, and even going so far as to say the United States can and will lead the global economy. So they certainly view themselves, that is the U.S. government, the U.S. state, as the leading power in the world, kind of like a dictatorship, which will dictate to other countries how they behave, how they organize their economies. And if it turns out that you reject that self-proclaimed role of the United States as leader of the global order, then you'll be depicted as violating Western democratic norms, regardless of whether you do or do not. Mm-hmm. On the other hand, foreign governments that categorically reject Western democratic norms but agree that the United States can and must lead the world are treated deferentially by the Western press.
Mm-hmm.
There was a U.S. official who, unnamed, but he acknowledged to the Washington Post not too long ago that we give a free pass to governments which cooperate and we ream the others as best we can. Now, that's a pretty good description not only of U.S. foreign policy, but also a description of how the U.S. and Western media treat other countries. I mean, the Western media will give a free pass to governments which cooperate. So Saudi Arabia gets a free pass, even though Saudi Arabia is led by a royal dictator, or a strongman, if you want to call him that. He has a regime, really. Essentially, as he is a kingdom, which is effectively a royal dictatorship. I've never heard anywhere or seen anywhere Western state officials refer to the Saud despot as a strongman or a dictator. And I've never heard them refer to Saudi Arabia as a regime or a dictatorship. And yet those terms fit to a T. Yeah. On the other hand, you know, on the same day that John Kerry, December 18th, John Kerry was in Riyadh rhapsodizing about His Majesty King Salman and talking about how the United States partners and friends with Saudi Arabia, this absolutist state, which is the very antithesis of Western democratic norms. On that very same day, there was an article that appeared in the Wall Street Journal, and it was called The Dictator Who Stole Christmas. And it was written by the Wall Street Journal editor, Mary Anastasio Grady. And I said, this is interesting. I read the article. It was about a strongman at the head of a government, which was called a regime and a dictatorship. And I was astonished to discover she wasn't talking about King Salman or, you know, the leader.
Who wouldn't let you have a Christmas to steal?
Well, that's correct. But she was talking about Nicolas Maduro, the president of Venezuela, who was elected in a free and fair election. So, you know, how is it that O'Grady can so easily use this label or apply the label to Maduro that he's a strong man and a dictator and that he's regime? I mean, this simply underscores kind of the proximity between Western news media and their respective governments, or the propaganda role that's played by the Western media on behalf of U.S. foreign policy. Completely silent on Saudi Arabia and depicting a president of a republic who is elected as a dictator or a strongman.
Yeah, and by the way, we remember that it was a very contentious election with intense observation of it from all quarters. So it was a real election, and he barely won it, but he won it.
Yes.
And this becomes, you know, well, a man on horseback.
Yes. But then that invites the question, why are they calling Maduro that? I mean, he governs with the consent of his people, unlike King Salman, who doesn't govern with the consent of anyone. But the difference is between Maduro and Salman is that Maduro refuses to kowtow to this international dictatorship of the United States.
Mm-hmm.
And there's someone else who does the same. And I think he's the most salient current example of this style of propaganda of depicting leaders as strongmen and dictators who are not. And that's Bashar al-Assad, the president of Syria.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, now we were saying at the top, here's a guy who actually fills the bill for all the things they say they believe. I recall an exchange he had, and with a French journalist. The French journalist said at the end of the interview, Mr. President Assad, is there anything you'd like to say to the people of France? And he said, Yes, we believe in liberty, equality, fraternity. What do you believe? Mm. And apparently they didn't like him saying that because instead of saying, well, isn't this nice? Here's a man who espouses these. Certainly they're not going to get that out of the mouth of the king of Saud. But they were very unhappy and are insisting, actually to this day, they haven't withdrawn the demand that he has to leave office before there's a settlement in Syria.
Yes, which hardly seems democratic. How is it that foreign governments can determine who should lead a particular country? And you know, there's never this acknowledgement that and I think this is the key consideration here, is that Syria is really a multi-party representative democracy that's headed by an elected president. Now, some people could say, well, you know, in 2011, he was elected, yes, in a referendum. So it wasn't a multi-candidate contest. His name was put forward. He was the sole person put forward. And the majority of people consented to his rule as president. Mm-hmm. And that's true. But that's a far more democratic than what was happening in Saudi Arabia or Qatar, or Jordan, for that matter, which are the leading U.S. allies in the Middle East.
Mm-hmm.
And then this, we should also acknowledge that in 2012, that Assad led efforts to change his country's constitution, and part of the change was to open up presidential elections to multi-party contests.
Mm-hmm.
So there was a multi-party or multi-candidate presidential election in Syria, which Assad won handily. There's also a legislature in Syria, and it's a legislature in which there are multiple parties.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, Assad is neither a strong man nor a dictator any more than Nicolas Maduro is a strong man or a dictator.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the United States government might not like the Arab nationalist orientation of the Syrian government. That's the real problem that Washington has with Assad.
Mm-hmm.
And that nationalist orientation means that the Syrian government has essentially repudiated Washington's self-appointed role as leader of the global order. So obviously that doesn't make the Assad government particularly popular in Washington.
Mm-hmm.
But all the same, it doesn't make the Assad government a dictatorship headed by a strongman.
Mm-hmm. We're speaking to Stephen Gowans, gowans.wordpress.com. I wanted to ask Stephen if you had seen this one item. Stephen Cohen was on Democracy Now! With Ken Roth,
mm-hmm.
who's kind of a Darth Vader figure in human rights. And he told a story which seemed to buttress your position. I just wonder if you saw it and what your comment. He said that in September of this year, there was an agreement of the United States, Putin and Obama, to fight what they both identified as terrorists in East Aleppo. Then he said the United States decided to pull out of that agreement. And from that moment, the people called terrorists by Putin and Obama together became rebels, he said, including on the program he was a guest of.
Yeah.
And overnight.
Mm-hmm.
And as he pointed out, he said to Mr. Roth, you know, you ought to be more concerned about people like myself and others who try to criticize and try to bring these facts out instead of joining in the hunt for supporting terrorists and whatnot in East Aleppo. It was quite a moment. But that was a fact, was it not, that from that day forward, they just changed the language?
Yeah, and this is a process that's been ongoing. It's an attempt to isolate ISIS as the terrorist, and everyone else is not a terrorist and is a rebel. And in fact, that was acknowledged by James Clapper, the head of the U.S. intelligence, who said, well, what's ISIS, what's a terrorist? A terrorist is effectively ISIS, and anyone else we're calling a rebel. So that would include al-Nusra, which is al-Qaeda. It's al-Qaeda in Syria. Mm-hmm. Does it use terrorist methods? Yes. Do many of the groups aligned with al-Nusra use terrorist methods? Yes, they do. So there's been this effort to kind of, you know, limit the depiction of terrorism to ISIS, which the United States is battling, mm-hmm. And to free al-Nusra from that depiction, or mm-hmm. take the label away from al-Nusra. And one of the reasons is because al-Nusra is probably supported indirectly by the United States. It's certainly supported by U.S. allies,
yes,
Turkey and Saudi Arabia and Qatar, and the so-called U.S.-backed rebels. We know from mainstream U.S. media are intertwined, interconnected, or cooperating on the battlefield with al-Qaeda. Mm-hmm. But effectively, the opposition, the armed opposition in Syria is al-Qaeda. It's either al-Qaeda directly through al-Nusra, or it's groups which cooperate with al-Qaeda, or it's ISIS, which is an offshoot of al-Qaeda, or it's groups that are ideological cognates of al-Qaeda. And all of them use terrorist methods, so you could call all of them terrorists if you want.
I will do that.
Call all of them Islamists, I mean Islamists, because mm-hmm. that's what they are. You can call them all of them rebels if you want, or insurgents, but, I mean, it's deceptive to say that one group is terrorists and the other group isn't.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Yeah.
And also, Cohen's other point was that Obama had agreed with the Russians that they would have a joint operation in Aleppo to eliminate the terrorists through an air campaign. And suddenly, the air campaign has become a campaign of war crimes because it's pursued by the Russians.
Mm-hmm.
As Cohen asked, well, how is it that now it's war crimes, but when the United States was supposed to participate, there wasn't much concern about war crimes.
Oh.
And I mean, at the moment, too, we have Mosul, where there's an attempt to liberate Mosul from terrorists, or from ISIS in this case. And this isn't very different from East Aleppo. There are massive civilian casualties. There's a siege of Mosul. So it's not different at all from East Aleppo.
Mm-hmm. Stephen Gowans. It's gowans.wordpress.com. At great title, the regime that isn't. I recommend everybody read it. Stephen, thank you very, very much. It's always great to talk to you.
Thank you.
Okie doke. Bye bye. Stephen Gowans. gowans.wordpress.com. You can write to us, taylor@ciut.fm. As I said, your one-stop tailoring service. You can find us on Facebook.com/TheTaylor Report. We urge you to go there. We've been speaking, by the way, earlier Eva Bartlett mentioned Vanessa Beely, and we had Vanessa Beely as a guest. Like Eva and Gowans and others, we believe in reliable sources, going to the places, somebody who's been there and who's willing, as Eva said about her own work, just, you know, want to discuss it. That's, you know, you can test one another's view.